The grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is that gospel lesson that you heard shortly ago. Listen especially to these last, three verses. Jesus says, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out. A treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This is God's word in Christ Jesus, fellow redeemed. I don't know if you remember it, but a couple of weeks ago I asked you the question, I think it was at the very beginning of the service, what is your most valuable possession? And I feel a little badly because I didn't give you much of a chance to respond. I'm not going to today either. But what I thought of course, after the fact, was what I should have done was put an insert in the bulletin where you could list the things that you felt were your most valuable possessions. And I can imagine, since it's the pastor that's asking, just like a Sunday school teacher in class would ask, the kids, and you as adults, are probably going to answer, first thing, what? Jesus, faith, God, or the Bible, right? All good answers, all excellent answers, don't get me wrong. But I kind of would then also have to say, maybe, let's exclude those. We're going to take those for granted. But now, what are some of the other things in your life that are valuable? And I'm sure the answers would run the gamut, right? If you stop and think about it in terms of dollar amounts, maybe a brand new car that you just bought, you're seeing dollar signs, right? Or you think of your house, they always say your house is the most expensive thing that you will ever buy in your lifetime. Unless, of course, you get into a business and you've actually purchased the business, maybe that would be more expensive. But other things too. Maybe you think of your hobby, or vacation, or some of the adventures that you've been on. Those you highly value and consider to be important. Family, friends, relationships. Maybe the gift from a very special friend or loved one, a note from your grandmother or great-grandmother who's already passed away. You cherish and value that highly. Or it could be a myriad of other things, right? It depends on your interests, your personality, the things that you've already experienced. Okay, so now let's change that just a little bit. Next question. What do you consider your greatest treasure? Now, at first that maybe sounds the same, right? But stop and think about it. When you use the word treasure, what comes to mind? Something more than just valuable in dollars and cents. Something that's more than just important to you. Now you're into that territory where this is something that I cherish. I value so highly that I can't imagine life without it. What would that be? Yeah. Give you time to think about that. Why this focus on possessions or valuable things or even treasures? Jesus uses that term today a number of times in this particular section. A section that was set off in the first place because of a guy that came to Jesus and asked him to force his brother to divide the inheritance with him, his father's estate. And Jesus said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not your judge or arbitrator. I want nothing to do that with that. And it set Jesus off so that he now jumps into a presentation on greed. Even to the point of using a parable to show just how serious a lesson this really is. And then he ends that section by saying, this is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God. Which then sets up directly this very personal, intimate, individual challenge or question to you and me today. To weigh our treasures. And again, think of what that term means, treasure. And just like we weigh our options, right? You've heard that expression. You weigh your options. You got a number of different things that you're going to do, and you figure out what's the most important. What do I need to do first? So weigh your treasures. Are they like that rich man in Jesus' parable? Or are they like the raven? Did you remember that animal that Jesus referred to in his presentation? Maybe you remember this presentation. We're told, then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They do not have storehouses or barns. Yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than birds? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, that this particular section of Luke's Gospel sounds very similar to Matthew's Gospel, chapters 5, 6, and 7, right? Sermon on the Mount. But as I mentioned then, it's still true today, there are two different situations, two different sermons that Jesus is preaching. And we can understand that because Jesus was always preaching and teaching and instructing his disciples, his followers, those who just came to listen to him. And so we can naturally assume and understand that, well, yeah, there's going to be repetition. There's going to be times when he teaches the same thing but to a different group of people under different circumstances. There's nothing wrong with that. After all, Jesus did it. But what is wrong is worrying. Jesus says, since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Well, what is worry? We got a good example. Also in Luke's Gospel, just two chapters before this, Mary and Martha. Remember the two sisters, along with their brother Lazarus? Jesus and the disciples came to visit one day, kind of maybe unexpected, and Martha thinks, what are we going to serve all these people? And she's running around the kitchen like, you know. And Mary, she's just sitting there like you, listening to Jesus. What a contrast, right? And Jesus chides Martha for her attention to all the details, running around with all kinds of worry and anxiety, whereas Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her, Jesus tells them. So worry. Maybe we could define it. Here's a definition that I came across. Wrapping your worth and well-being around this wayward, wailing, failing world, giving more attention and affection and value to it than to God. That's what worry is. And really, it reveals also a very feeble faith and maybe a tepid trust in Jesus or in God that we're so caught up with the things of this life and how we need to deal with it that we kind of forget about God. Think of Abraham in our Old Testament lesson this morning. God told him he was going to be the father of many nations, a large nation that in fact would be so numerous that it would be more than the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. And it was just him and his wife Sarah. How in the world is that going to happen? But remember the last verse of that section from Genesis chapter 15? Abram believed the Lord, and it was credited to him as righteousness. God was pleased with the fact that Abram simply relied on what God had said. That's trust, the opposite of worry. And worry, thinking about all the things of this life with, shall we say, messed up priorities. Thinking that this is more important than what God has said. Being concerned about the fleeting nature of the things of this life and really not considering the things that are going to last for eternity, that's the difference between one who trusts and one who worries. And the fact that Jesus takes this up, not only in regard to the whole matter of greed, remember that parable of the rich man whose life was then demanded of him that very evening, who stored all his stuff in his barns and was figuring that he had everything made for the rest of his life. Jesus wants us to be focused instead on the things that last eternally. Because there's a very great danger for all of us to be so focused on this life and this world, like that man with his inheritance, or the parable that Jesus spoke about that rich fool, as he called him. There's another life that is still to come. So to worry about the things of this life is foolishness. That's why Jesus says, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Life is more than the things of this world. Because life, as you and I understand it, the life that comes from God, that is by faith in Jesus, lasts to eternity. That's certainly far more valuable than all the things that we have in this life and in this world. So to be obsessed with them, what does Jesus say? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? You cannot worry yourself 1 hour, 1 second longer of life on this earth. Or it could also be translated, you can't add a single inch to your height by worry. Kind of puts things on a different plane, doesn't it? Jesus goes on, consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his glory was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? Think of the closet that has all your clothes in it, or closets. Maybe you've got boxes in the basement or in the attic. How many clothes do you actually have? How many do you need to wear on one particular day? We don't even stop to think about how important or how little importance there are really to those things of this life as compared to what we have eternally. Yes, God will take care of them because he has promised. Just as he takes care of everything else in this world. That's why Jesus says, consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They do not have storerooms or barns, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than birds? Everything around us reminds us that God is in control and takes care of the things that He has created, especially you and me. That's why we're called on to confess in the Apostles' Creed, I believe in God the Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth. Since He created all these things and knows how to supply the needs of every living thing, why worry? What's the sense of running after all the things of this life, making them top priority even, when in fact God's already got them covered? And they really aren't the most important thing anyway. They aren't the things that are going to last. They don't satisfy. They're only for this life. Because, as Jesus says, consider the ravens. You know what a raven is? We had them squawking this morning outside of church in the backyard. They're those big black birds. We call them crows. Dirty. Noisy, annoying, especially at 5 o'clock in the morning. God takes care of them. Dirty birds that they are, only feeding on the stuff that, you know, lays on the roadside. Yet God provides for all of them. What about you and me? The crown of God's creation. Since God takes care of those unimportant animals, isn't He also going to provide and care for you too? That's why we need to get right priorities, because right priorities are essential for the disciples of Jesus. We are called on to consider the treasures that God has entrusted to us. That's why Jesus says, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Your treasure is in heaven. The gift of eternal life and salvation that begins already now, when God brought you to faith through the working of the Holy Spirit to understand and recognize what Jesus did for you on the cross. He poured out His lifeblood to win forgiveness of sins for you and for me and for all. Paid the price that you and I could never render. And in doing so, He made us His own. His prized possessions, members of His family. And He has promised He will provide and take care of us every step of the way, because He's already invested the greatest treasure of all, His own dear Son. There is nothing that you and I can do to win that for ourselves. It comes as no cost to us, but it cost God His own Son. How can that then not be your greatest treasure? What's the alternative? On the last day, you're going to stand in front of God and say, here, with a handful of dust, this is my greatest treasure. All the baubles of this world that you accumulated, now worthless dust. No, Jesus is my greatest treasure. Heaven is my home. Cherish, treasure, value that above everything else. Amen. Now let that peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in your dearest treasure, Jesus. Amen.